many of the Jewish day schools, Yeshiva College in particular, has been back at school for 3 weeks. It can't have been easy. I happen to know some of the challenges that they faced, some especially in getting going, and the detail, the work that went into making school ready for the kids, creating a safe, happy environment, because it can't just be safe, it also has to be happy. One of the people spearheading this at Yeshiva College was Head of Kodesh, is Head of Kodesh and Ethos and Girls High School Principals at Yeshiva College, Rebbetzin Natalie Altman. A very good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. Good, thank God. How are you?
Yeah, well, we're good in studio. I don't know. We're a little off the wall today, but so far we haven't got ourselves into any particular trouble. You've been back at school 3 weeks. It can't have been easy. That's the tip of the iceberg. What went on before was probably a lot of very, very difficult work. How has it been? The good, the bad, and the ugly.
So Howard, it's an incredible thing how flexible and adjustable the human being is, and how creative we actually can become when faced with enormous challenge. While you gave me the topic of the good, the bad, and the ugly, I'd like to change it, if you don't mind, to be a bit off the wall, to the good, the challenging, and the unknown.
Right.
Baruch Hashem, so far, there has not been anything bad or ugly, and I don't believe there will be, but certainly challenging and so much unknown, which I think does breed a bit of fear and difficulty.
You know, schools effectively are asking parents to trust them with their most precious I don't want to say possessions, but
yes,
they think that which is the most precious to them. It's a big ask.
It really is.
So how have you managed with that? How have you managed with anxious parents? Because the kids, I believe, are probably a little bit more flexible and don't always see the dangers and the worry as much as parents do. How have you dealt with parents around this?
Look, to be honest, we generally stay in schools, in all schools. It's not the children, it's the parents. So that's nothing new. I think in general and so far we've had tremendous, tremendous parental support.
Right.
I think where we're lucky in this particular area is that it's about science. It's about medicine. And so we have been incredibly blessed to have a team of doctors who has guided us literally on every micro detail of every decision we've made. So the way we do the sanitizing, the way we've set up the classrooms, every single, you know, contact, every single case that has come to us, we have put to our medical team, and which gives me tremendous, you know, shalom in terms of giving a parent a decision. While obviously at the school, not everything is medical. Whether it's the government, other schools, what has also been tremendous. And when you talk about one of the good things that have come out of this, the Jewish schools have been working together, very much. And we've got a common WhatsApp group. Every gazette that comes out, we share, the schools have been sharing their protocols with each other. So there's a real sense of calm in that, knowing that we're all very much in it together and are there to support each other.
And trying to figure it out as we go along, because that's the whole point around COVID, is that there's no one who's walked this road before. No country in the world, no city, no school. It's really, as you say, just taking the science as the scientists or doctors are learning more about this and adapting it to the environment. You know, initially we thought kids were super spreaders. We now know that they're not. There's so many aspects around this that we are learning as we go. What do you do as the, you know, and we speak, we've been talking about it for some weeks now, as the cases within the community have started increasing quite alarmingly. Hatzola dealing with literally more than 100 people within the community who have COVID. There's the infection rate is very high. That means that you're going to start to see more and more parents with COVID, perhaps infecting their kids. How are you managing these pockets or bubbles within the school environment?
Okay, so I'll start off with your word pockets and bubbles. So we've really, really tried to keep the integrity of each class, not even saying grade, each class as a capsule, meaning that the cleaners that go to their class, the teachers that are in their class, and the children in their class are basically just with that class. So that
very clever. If and when there is a case,
we don't have to shut the whole school. We just know exactly, you know, where to shut or what to do within a capsule. So I think that's the first thing. Not the first thing, but that's one aspect. I think one of the cultures that we are really trying to build in the school and hopefully in the community is this concept of arevut, that we really, we're responsible for one another. And if I don't wear a mask and if, you know, I have Shabbos dinners or do with friends or do things that are irresponsible, it really, really can affect my friend. And if it doesn't affect my friend badly, it might affect their parent or their grandparent. And really, not in a fearful way, but really in a like building a family way, really trying to get this ethos and this culture of we're in it together and whatever we do affects each other. So I think that's sort of like the context and the paradigm that we really want to build. And when we do have a case, I mean, our philosophy around it is transparency, transparency, transparency. This is about people's lives. And therefore, the second we hear of a case connected to the school or in the school, we send out a communication as soon as we can, telling, you know, the capsule that is affected and what our doctors suggest about who can and who can't come to school and, you know, what we do. And then we fogging the classes. It's a new term for me. You know, and,
there are a lot of these new terms. We're going to have a whole new lexicon by the end of 2020. Fogging, absolutely being one of them. How does it work in terms of information? You obviously are not allowed, to reveal a name of a person who's got COVID, but to some extent, it's quite important to do, because it might be within a capsule, but some people might have had more connection with that person than somebody else. How does that work? Do you ask permission to use somebody's name? Do you, or is it protocol not to and just leave it to that person?
So we've done a few things in our school-wide communication. We have sent it, as I said, to the specific capsule and said a parent of a child in the school or a sibling or a child in the school. So we have not used any names. However, parents have been amazing, thank God, of letting us know immediately if there was a positive test. And every parent we've asked if we could reveal their name, not in the official communication, but to the teachers and to the children and to the parents in the class, just so, as you say, should there have been, you know, additional contact or whatever it is people know. But we're also doing that to really try and break the stigma. Anyone can get COVID.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, there are those that are getting it because they're irresponsible, but there are plenty of people that are just going about their regular everyday lives. I go to work every day. It's very possible. And so we're trying to break that stigma by really encouraging people to talk about it. And I must say, for the most part, in fact, there hasn't been one person that said to me, I don't want you to tell.
That's interesting. So I'm very happy to hear that because that's one of my concerns and I think it will get better as more in terms of that, as more people, unfortunately, contract COVID-19. I think people will talk about it more because, you know, maybe earlier on people might have gotten it because they were a little bit more lax on some of their, with their behavior. But now it is not difficult to get. You really can get it no matter how, even if you have been careful. The other aspect that I wanted to discuss, and a friend of mine was dropping their kid off, a grade one kid, at the school when on the first day, and you had this huge balloon structure outside, this sort of welcoming the kids, and I thought it had a big impact on me because I thought, it's not just about keeping the kids safe and educated, but it's actually giving them some of their childhood and their fun back. in a way that's quite difficult with social distancing, with masks, with anxiety that, that teachers and administrators have to feel because they are responsible. How do you manage and do you manage to create a sense of fun and childhood within the, on the school campus?
So it's, we've had a lot of parent teacher meetings this, this week. And one of the things that I keep saying to parents is that when we sent your children home for lockdown, our responsibility within, thank God, the majority of warm, nurturing, loving homes was to focus on the academics. Now that you're sending your children back to school, actually our priority is to focus on their social, emotional, spiritual side so that they can get through this. Obviously the academics is important. That's why they're coming to school. But really the reason why we bring them back, Baruch Hashem, for the most part, we were very, very successful with our online learning. But where the children, especially the teenagers, but not only the teenagers, I think even the primary school children have felt this massive loss and lack of friends and being able to interact even academically in a social environment. And so we are not being nearly as strict on uniform and on other rules. COVID rules, no tolerance policy just because it's life-saving. But on other rules, we just, the whole atmosphere, we are trying to make as warm as possible and as nurturing and as fun just because we're so aware that it's a strange and hard environment. So, of course, the academics are always important, but with a much, much greater emphasis in the high school on, like, the warm and the nurturing, and in the primary school on the fun and the, you know, aspect part of the education.
Absolutely. Absolutely amazing. Isn't that your thoughts?
So I understand that maybe some teachers may have been anxious about going back to school. And obviously you don't just concentrate on, you know, the sanitizing, everything. The kids have to feel safe and they, it has to be a fun environment. So obviously the teachers also have to kind of have that mindset. How did they manage to get the teachers
on
to
board.
Have that right mindset?
Yeah, that's a great question.
It's a great question. The truth is that we were in a principal's meeting yesterday and we were talking about teacher fatigue. And one of the principals said, when he asked the teacher, do you remember what date the term started? And they said the 1st of January. And the truth is that's the truth.
Right.
Because
absolutely.
Our teachers are preparing from the beginning of the year. We started the year. Lockdown, we had to have a very, well, I guess we didn't have to, but we managed to have a very, very quick turnaround to get everything out either online or massive packs for our primary school within 1 or 2 days. And so that was incredibly difficult and massive work for the teachers. Over the Pesach holidays, literally aside from the days of Yom Tov, in order to get everybody upskilled, we had teacher development every day with Zoom and Google Classroom. And then they went straight online, which is something that they've never done before.
Amazing.
So there is no question that there is teacher fatigue. I'm astounded by their incredible commitment. Absolutely astounded. I think as it comes towards the end of the term, we are feeling it. The teachers are definitely
feeling it.
In fact, we have reduced our school holiday from 3 weeks to 2 weeks because, just for parents' sake, like, what are they going to do for their children for 3 weeks? So it was a gift really, but from the school to the parents.
Right.
However, there are actually a lot of chesed programs and other things that we've wanted to do, as part of the curriculum. And we decided yesterday, I don't even know, but this is hot off the press. I don't even know if it's been officially communicated to the teachers. But that the Thursday and Friday before the 2 weeks will actually just be days to do reports and to just come down. Because the truth is that the pedagogical style of teaching online is totally different.
Of course, I think it's been a massive ask for teachers.
And
I really, I've written an article on it. I really believe that the teachers and the kids actually have been some of the heroes of COVID.
Absolutely, absolutely. And what's even been even more difficult now is now that we've brought, I think, 5 or 6 grades back to school, some parents are choosing not to send their children. So the teachers are teaching both over Zoom and face-to-face, which has been even more complex. But I think our teachers, when you ask me what's motivating them, what has re-inspired me about my own career path is how committed teachers are. And despite the incredible challenge, but like astounding challenge, they love the kids so much. They just seeing those teachers, when you talk about what was good about coming back to school, the joy that those in those teachers' faces of seeing those children back, they love them so much that there's a genuine, genuine push.
Ritz and Natalie Altman, we do unfortunately. Yeah. In fact, make your final point just because it's 7:30, so we do need to wrap it up. But finish your thought that you were saying.
I was just going to say, in fact, the teachers that are back at school, I think have had a reinvigoration. You know, I think it's harder
energized.
For the teachers that are still on Zoom because it's been the same thing.
Yeah, because they went into teaching because they love the kids and they love educating, and they this year having been forced to do so from behind a computer screen could not have been easy. It isn't what drove them and inspired them. So to come back to school actually is the very thing that invigorates. So Rebbetzin and Natalie Altman, thank you for your input. Keep up the amazing work.